Man, I'll tell you, I felt like you know, if you've ever flown in an airplane, you know, you start off on the runway, they start taxiing out after everyone's aboard, and you start rolling backwards a little bit, and you start rolling forward a little bit, and you're going real slow, you know. And as you start going, you get to a place, and the pilot tells you that we're cleared for takeoff, and then you get in line, and when it's your turn, you know, they start revving up that engine. Praise the Lord. And when you start moving forward, you start rolling, and all of a sudden, you just feel and put that throttle right down to the floor. Glory to God. And when that pilot does that, man, that plane, it puts you right back in your seat. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And you start cruising down that runway at a couple hundred miles an hour, and then all of a sudden, you're going so fast that big bird, praise the Lord, that big steel bird lifts off, takes you up into the air, and you go up in the air 30,000 feet in something that just normally wouldn't think would make it that high. Praise God. Well, you know, as I was praying, that's exactly what I felt like. Praise the Lord. I just felt like I said, man, I could just start getting going right now. Hallelujah. I felt like I was putting the throttle down and I was about to take off. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. I hope you're excited for tonight, because I sure am. Glory to God. You know, I just love the Lord. I just love serving God. Serving God is so much fun. Serving God is just such a blessing. Being part of a church is just such a joy. Praise the Lord. Being planted in the local church and being taught the word, there ain't nothing better in life. Amen. You know, some people think that me and my family serve, you know, do go to all these services and have all these services just because we're pastors. But that isn't the reason at all. We're pastors because we love the Lord so much. We are in church so much. He said, well, if you ain't going to stop coming, then I'm just going to have to get you to do something. Amen. And so he put us up there and praised the Lord. I had to start serving. Well, you know, that's the way God is just so good. Coming to church isn't a hard thing. It isn't a funeral service. Praise the Lord. We should never look at, if we come into church and we're sad about being in church, well, something is off. Because that is not what God had intended for us. He intended this to be the place where we receive joy, hallelujah, where we get peace, hallelujah, where we get the engrafted word of God implanted in on the inside of us. And when it starts producing, when we place the word on the inside of us, that seed, the Bible says that one plants it, one waters it, but God brings the increase, hallelujah. And so as God shines his light down on that, praise the Lord, that light's like if you have a little plant and you have a little growing lamp on it, amen. Doesn't matter what kind of weather you're having outside, you put that light on it, praise the Lord, and that plant responds, doesn't it? And that's exactly what God has for us tonight, amen. Praise the Lord. That's what he has for us every time we come together, and that's why we love the house of the Lord so much. Praise the Lord. Well, that's free, no charge. I'm telling you, I'm raring to go. I'm so excited. I might just come out of my suit tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I always say, I don't know what happened to that preacher, but man, he took off running. He went out the front door and his suit was still there on the stage. He came out of it so fast it was standing out. Well, praise the Lord. It won't be like that. Yeah, that would be on YouTube. Would that be on YouTube?
That would not be good.
That wouldn't be good. Praise the Lord. But I feel like it could happen. So don't you test me. Hallelujah. Because it might. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm just excited. Oh, I just love the word. I just love the word of God. Amen. I love the house of the Lord. And I just hope you came here excited. You know, this would be something a lot of Christians need to know. You know, you just start putting it on. You just, because when you realize how good God is, you'll just start putting it on. You'll learn to just start putting it on. And you know, if you just start putting it on, man, you can be, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter what you're facing. It doesn't matter what trial is coming against you. When you start putting on what God told you to put on, praise the Lord, it's a new suit. And man, I'm telling you, it will make you happy. It will make you blessed. It will bless people around you. You say, what is wrong with them? I don't know what's wrong with them, but I want some of that. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's the way the church should look. Praise God. Glory to God. Well, I got to get into a message here at some point. Hallelujah. Tonight's message is called Planted to Produce. Hallelujah. Planted to produce, praise the Lord. And tonight we're going to be talking about being planted in the local church. Glory to God. Now we got some, you know, most everybody here I think is attenders. Nobody new tonight. You know, we have people that have been coming back and coming back. So you've been planted in the house of the Lord. But we're going to be talking about just how important that is and what that means. Praise the Lord. You know, because there's lots of opportunity as you serve God, as you connect to a church and you grow. Grow in a church and you become part of a church, you know, there's lots of opportunity the devil's going to throw at you to get stale. There's going to be lots of opportunity that he's gonna get you offended, maybe do something will happen in the service, and the devil's just gonna run with it. Maybe it'll be something, you know, last week we had something that we don't normally, or that we haven't seen a whole lot around here, but yet, praise the Lord. But we, you know, the Lord had me minister to somebody and call them out. We laid hands on them, you know, and that's just the direction of God. But you know, sometimes, you know, and I tried to do my best at teaching at the moment on it and not let the moment pass. But, you know, it's important that we understand that as long as we follow the Bible, we'll be safe. And so that's what we try to do. Amen. And in doing so, we endeavor to be a church that's built on that foundation, because Jesus told us a house that's built on a good foundation will stand. Amen. Yeah. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. But we're talking tonight about planted, the reason that God gave us the local church. You know, the local church is something that is under such attack today. And like I said, there will be such opportunities, so many opportunities for you to quit, to just say, I don't want to do that anymore. Amen. And maybe you've done that before, and I'm not here to condemn you, because I did it many times in my life. But now you're going to get the word, and you're going to know how to fight through that. Amen. And why you shouldn't. Praise the Lord. You know, there was many times throughout my Christian career, since we've been serving God and everything, there was many times where I would get offended by something that was going on, or I would get mad by something that happened, and you know, I'd just get teed off. And sometimes I was even in the right, that I just get ticked about what was going on. But you know, and there was many times where I was at that point where I'm like, I'm ready to quit. I'm ready to quit the church. You know, but I remember the words of Peter when Jesus, when everybody was leaving Jesus, and Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, "Aren't you going too?" And Peter turned to Jesus and he said, "But Lord, where else would we go?" Yeah. And you know, that's exactly what we have to understand. When we're planted in the right place, there is no other option, because there's no other place you're going to get fed like you are. Yeah. Amen? You know, Dorothy, she would sit there and click her heels together and say, "There's no place like home. There's no place like home." Amen? Or don't we feel that way? You know, sometimes when I travel a lot, I always want to be back home. There's no place like home. But our church should be like that to us. It should become so important that it's like our home. Amen? It's like a place that we come into and that we know that we're going to get nourished and fed. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. So why don't you turn with me to Psalm 92. Praise the Lord. We're going to spend some time in Psalms tonight. We're going to go through a bunch of them, but we're going to start in Psalm 92. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we're going to start in verse 13, Psalm 92, 13. Praise the Lord. I get to preach on Psalm 91 tomorrow in Mayville. I'm excited for that too. But tonight we're preaching here in Corey. Hallelujah. Psalm 92, 13. We're going to read 13 and 14. What does it say here? It says, "Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing." Those who are planted in the house of the Lord. Planted in the house of the Lord. Planted in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. I love the metaphors, the examples that the Bible gives us. Because they are so, they teach us so much. They can, you know, you can kind of not understand what the wording is, but just because of the metaphor that's used, it makes sense to you. You know what I mean? We can understand what it's talking about here if you understand something about plants. Now, for a time in my life, I was a landscaper. I did some landscaping. And one thing that I learned when I was landscaping is that a plant needs to be planted. You know, plants that are in pots, they may look nice for a little while. But you know, at the end of the year, nurseries and stuff usually try to sell those off, and they sell them off cheap. And the reason is because they do better once they're planted. Yeah. Amen. Last year, my wife and I, we bought some trees to plant on our property. We bought a bunch of maples. And there were these maples. We got a deal on them because the guy who had them, he said they really need to get in the ground. You know, because you can have them in pots for a while, but it's not preferable. Now, when you have something in a pot, you can move it around. And one thing I learned as a landscaper, that every time you move things around, it actually affects the plant. How do they know? I don't know, but it does affect them. You know, and so if you, even a nursery will tell you that they try, if they're growing trees, and even if they have them in pots, they try not to move them a whole lot because it puts the plant in shock. But you know, the Bible says that those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in his courts. Those who are planted. You know, and I got this thought, I was thinking about it, and I love to use this example, but, you know, sometimes I travel out to Southern California. And in Southern California, they got a really interesting they have a real interesting geography, I guess, and they have real interesting weather patterns and stuff like that. They have almost no water, which is kind of ironic because they grow so much there. But, you know, there's lots of different things to see. A lot of things aren't green. But one thing you do, if you drive around in the mountains, what you'll see is you'll see fruit tree after fruit tree after fruit tree. And they plant them on the sides of these mountains. And they go to so much, these great lengths to bring in water just to, because the reason they do it is because the sun there is just so perfect for growing. Amen. You can't grow the things here that you can grow there. You know, so much of our fruit and produce, avocados, stuff like that, lemons and limes and all these things, they come from Southern California. And the reason is because the growing, the sun, the area is so good. Well, that's kind of like the house of the Lord. You know, the house of the Lord is a place that we are meant to come get planted so we can grow, because the light that God sheds on us there helps us to grow just perfectly, just kind of like Southern California. But you know, as I'm driving around Southern California, something else I notice, and I always get a kick out of these, and I don't know why, but they just, every time I see one, it makes me laugh, kind of chuckle on the inside. But you see tumbleweeds. Has anyone ever seen a tumbleweed? Praise the Lord, tumbleweed. You'll be driving down the street, and sometimes, I mean, you get big. Yeah, I've seen tumbleweeds. They're taller than I am, just flip-flopping around, rolling around the road. You'll be driving, and all of a sudden, boom, 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 boom. I don't know why it makes me giggle, but it does. Praise the Lord. Tumbleweeds make me giggle. But, you know, the thing is I notice is that people aren't harvesting tumbleweeds. People aren't planting tumbleweeds. You know, tumbleweeds are just kind of a weed that tumbles. It's no good. People aren't, so you don't go to the fruit stand and say, hey, well, I want some of that tumbleweed fruit. You don't do it. Why? Because they're flip-flopping around. And see, this is the way a lot of Christians are. Christians get to the place where they just kind of tumble around. They never really do anything. You know, they just kind of, they go from one church to another church, and they never really get planted. God intended us to get planted. Yeah. God said that if we are planted in the house of the Lord, we will flourish. And it's that planting that we need, praise the Lord. People go to great lengths, praise the Lord. They go to great lengths to plant these fruit trees out there. But again, you don't see them planting tumbleweeds. It doesn't matter. The sun can be the best it can be. The weather can be just perfect for growing anything. But people still aren't trying to harvest tumbleweeds. And you know, the same thing is with God. He doesn't want people tossed to and fro. In fact, one of the hallmarks of true Christianity is stability. I love this. Because I was such an unstable person in my life. Before I came to know the Lord, I was up, down, left, right. I was all over the place. I was a mess. God brought me stability, and he brought it through planting me in a church and planting me with a pastor. And we're going to see that the two things go hand in hand. Amen. I have seen this year after year after year as I've been a pastor and even as I wasn't a pastor. People who were tossed to and fro, people that were kind of on the fringes, they never got connected to a place. What happens to them? You see, I've known a lot of Christians over the years that do that. They'll go to a church for so long, they'll get offended, move to another church. And they'll go there for so long, they'll get offended and move to another word. You know, and again, and I don't know all of you, all your history, and maybe some of you would have done that. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to set the record straight. I'm here to help you, praise the Lord. Because the word that you'll get tonight will make you stable if you follow it. It will make you get to the place where you plant it and you flourish. Amen. You know, it's interesting about planting again. I love the example. Because when you finally do plant something, you know, you don't get a whole lot off of it at first. My father-in-law told me I planted some blueberry bushes, and he told me that somebody had told him that for the first 3 years that you have a blueberry bush, every time it flowers, you pick the flowers off before it goes to fruit. Yeah. And the reason that you do that, he said, is because as you do that, the roots, the bush will focus on the roots, on growing the roots. And then it will get the roots planted. Yeah. in the ground. It will get them firmly rooted, hallelujah. And then after that, the harvest will be better. You will always grow more, a better plant, a healthier plant, because the roots are firm. And don't we know that from Scripture? If the root, if the foundation is good, then the tree is going to be good. Amen? And so we understand that it's the same thing. So we understand that, that planting is very important. But what, we don't want to forget about verse 14, which says, they shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. The idea here is that when we get planted the way God has us to be planted, and that's the key. When we do the word, when we get planted under the word the way God has us to, then even in our old age, it will be like residual, perpetual. It'll keep producing. Because God, see, you know, there's so many people that as they grow older, they start kind of just looking at life kind of blah, you know, like, oh, I remember hearing one of my grandfathers say, you know, I'm just not good for anything anymore. Well, priest, you know, that's not a good way to think about it. The way we have to understand is that we are to still be fresh and flourishing in our old age. God has intended us to be fruit producers all our life. Amen. And you say, what is fruit? Well, you could just go to the fruits of the Spirit found in Galatians 5, in verses like 25, I think, around in that area. It talks about the fruits of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Those things that we have. Well, the first few of them are love, joy, and peace. Praise the Lord. That's a pretty awesome thing to have. Hey, when I'm 70, I want love, joy, and peace. When I'm 80, I want love, joy, and peace. When I'm 90, praise the Lord, I'm confessing I'm going to 100. Praise the Lord. Why do I do that? Well, because the devil always tries to tell me to take me earlier. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So I'm just going to live past what we, you know. Praise God. Hallelujah. Say, well, you can't control that. Well, I'm believing God for it. The Bible says you can have what you say. So I say I'm going to 100. Amen. Praise the Lord. If Jesus doesn't come back. But that's free, no charge. Amen. Anyways, but we want to be producers. We want to be fresh and flourishing. Amen. Some people have this idea. No, I'm just getting started, man. I'm 40. I'm going to be 42 this year. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be 42 this year. I'm just getting going.
That's right.
I said, I'm just getting started. Hallelujah. Praise God. My 20s, I screwed up my 20s. I screwed up my teens and my 20s. I would never go back to my 20s. You couldn't pay me to go back to my 20s. For one thing, I think differently now, and I love the way I think now. I hated the way I thought then. Amen. Praise the Lord. My 30s got a little bit better, but they still weren't as good as my 40s started off being. But my 40s started off great. So the only thing I can figure is that my 50s have got to be better than that. My 60s are going to be even better than that. My 70s, glory to God. Oh, you won't even recognize me in my 70. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. She will, because she'll be right there with me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, be a little bit behind me because she's a little bit younger than me, but glory to God. But you know, we're going into stuff. The Bible says we go from glory to glory. So why would we confess anything different? Getting old isn't a bad thing. Getting old is a joy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, if you look at getting old the way God looks at getting old, you'd be happy where you're at. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. I got to get going here. Praise the Lord. No tumbleweeds. Turn with me to Hebrews 10:24. We don't want to be tumbleweeds. We want to be planted. Why? Because planted grows. Amen. And when you grow, you produce fruit. Praise the Lord. Why? Because that's the way God made us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I forgot where Hebrews was. There it is. Praise God. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Don't you know the word is good?
Yes.
Amen. The word is good. Hallelujah. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Let us consider one another. I know sometimes I read scriptures more than once, but there's a reason for that. Amen. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Praise the Lord. We're going to see here tonight, but the house of God is not just about us. Let us consider one another. See, when people are casual about the house of God, they're casual about their brothers and sisters. Our brothers and sisters need us to be what we are supposed to be. Amen. Your church needs you to be what you need to be. Amen. You know, there's people that, I know a lot of people, there's a lot of people don't like churches talking about giving. I don't care, because the Bible says to give, and if you don't give, it says you're a fool, basically. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's the truth. It's just the way it is. Jesus gave. He said he instructed everybody to give. And I know that there's people out there that have taken it out of balance, and that there's ministers that have robbed people and stuff like that, but we don't stop doing what's right just because somebody was dumb. Amen. We follow the word of God because that always keeps us straight. But you know, the problem is that there's people that just, I've actually talked to pastors before. They have a church full of people and none of them give. How do you think the bills are going to get paid? How do you think you're going to get, how do you think that the work is going to get done if there's no give? Well, that's considering one another. Amen. See, some people are just like, well, it's mine. Well, it isn't just yours. No, everything that you have is God's. Praise the Lord. Actually, Jesus said you don't belong to yourself anymore. So if you don't belong to yourself, then your stuff certainly don't belong to you either. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. That's the truth. That's it. Free, no charge. Hallelujah. But it's good. It's the truth. It says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more. As you see the day approaching. So much more as you see the day approaching. What day is he talking about? The day when Jesus returns. He says, do not forsake the assembling together of, praise the Lord. Do not forsake assembling together. Amen. That is such a problem in Christianity where people think, well, I can have church at home. No, you can't. You need the local church to have church. Praise the Lord. You need God. You need to assemble together because that's the way that Jesus designed it. That's the way the Lord said it must be. Amen. Praise God. I remember when I was not planted in the house of the Lord, when I was flip-flopping around, that's exactly the kind of life I lived. I lived a flip-flop kind of life. You know what kind of, you know, flip-flops are fine. Praise the Lord. But you don't see people who are mountain climbing going to put on flip-flops, do you? I don't know where I'm going with this yet, but I'm going somewhere. Praise the Lord. You don't see runners pulling out the flip-flops. Amen. Flip-flops are casual. They're fine for a time, but they're not good all-round wear. Amen. And flip-flop Christians are the same way. Yeah. They ain't good for much. Yeah, I'm going to say it. I'll be going to say it bold. A flip-flop Christian ain't good for much. Yeah. A flip-flop, I'm here, I'm there, blah, 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 never really doing anything. The Bible tells us that he's got a plan. And if he's got a plan, then there's a purpose. And if there's a purpose, then we need to be living according to a purpose. And you can't be living to according to a purpose if you're flip-flopping all the time. If you believe this one day and believe this the next day. If you can be moved over here, then be moved over here. If the wind blows, and all glory to God, it's all falling apart over here. No, see, that's exactly what God is trying to prevent us from doing. God wants us to be planted, hallelujah, because he wants us to produce fruit. But there's Christians who won't ever get planted, and then they wonder why they're not producing any fruit. They wonder why they don't have the peace the Bible talks about. And then they say, well, God just must not want it. No, see, that's not the truth at all. You're not doing the word, and you're not getting what the word puts in you. Amen? Praise the Lord. See, it is such a big thing. It is such a huge thing for us to get in us. There is no option in my family on whether or not we're going to church. There's no option. Now listen, let's keep this balance here, right? I'm not talking if you go away for a vacation. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying that you're evil and bad because you didn't come to church. You know what I'm saying? If something comes up and you have to take care of it sometimes, you know, a work thing or whatever. But you know, the general idea is that the house of God needs to become so important to us that we put it right up there. The house of God is most important in our life. You know, the house of God in our life, we will, I heard a minister say this once, and I love it. He said, if the church needs carpet, my house needs carpet, the church gets it first. Yeah, absolutely, because it's the house of the Lord. It means something to God. We take on that philosophy for ourselves, and we do that. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Why do we do that? Because the house of God means something to us. Yeah. You realize it's the house of God where people get saved. Yeah. It's the house of God where people's lives get changed. Yeah. We've seen people healed of cancer in the house of the Lord. Yeah. Because they connected to the house of the Lord. If they hadn't connected, I know they would have been dead. Praise the Lord. It's the truth. I've seen people who have come out of depression. I'm one of them. Who came out of serious depression and crazy depression. I mean, I was hospitalized many times. On all kinds of psychotic medications. They ain't got me on nothing anymore. Not for my head anyways. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. My head's straight. Hallelujah. Why? Because that's what God does. He puts us on the straight and narrow path. He gives us the mind of Christ. Praise the Lord. And we take off and we do what he wants us to do. Hallelujah. See, this is what planting does. This is why it's important. It's where bondages are broken. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we're going to see here in a minute, it's also where your pastor is. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to see why that's important too. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Psalm 22. We're going back to Psalm. Praise the Lord. We're going to be flip-flopping. But it's all right if you flip-flop in the Word as long as you're following a plan. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Psalm 22. No, I didn't want Psalm 22. I made that wrong. Praise the Lord. It wasn't Psalm 22. It was Psalm 23. I'm saying something doesn't sound right about that. And I'm like, yeah, because they won't know this 22nd Psalm, but everybody knows the 23rd Psalm, right? And that's where we want to go, the 23rd Psalm. So just go there instead, amen? 23, we're going to read the whole stinking thing, amen? The whole thing, from beginning to end, all six verses. Praise God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I said the Lord is my shepherd, amen? Praise the Lord. That word shepherd, and we also know this, that word shepherd is the same word for pastor. We're going to see how it applies here in a minute. But the Lord is my shepherd, and what does he say? Very next words, I shall not want. What does that mean? I'm not going to go without. That's what it means. When the Lord's your shepherd, you don't go without. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now look at what the Lord does. This is what I love, the direction of God. This is what God does. Amen? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. What are green pastures? That's a good place, good restful place, right? It's a good place where you can eat. There's food there, amen? That's the idea that we're getting, amen? He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Hallelujah. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Amen? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Praise the Lord. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When God told the Israelites to build the tabernacle, he told them to build it according to the plan that he gave. Amen? When he said in the plan, it was based off of what was seen in heaven. So the plan that God gave people was based on what he saw in heaven. Now, we've all prayed the Lord's Prayer probably at some point in our Christian walk, right? And what is part of the Lord's Prayer? It says, on earth as it is in heaven. See, it's important to God that our earthly lives look like our heavenly lives should. That there's a mirror going on, amen? And see, God, his Spirit will always lead us. If we're following his Spirit, he's always going to lead us to green pastures, still waters, the calming of the soul, the calming of the spirit. Praise the Lord. He's going to restore your soul, which means your mind. Amen. It's not your spirit. He's going to he recreates our spirits, but he restores our mind. Amen. That's the same thing as renewing your mind. Amen. Do you ever need your mind renewed? Do you ever need your mind restored? Have you ever been to that place where you may, I just ain't thinking right. I don't know what's wrong, but I'm not thinking right. You ever been there? Or just stuff is off. When we're thinking good and we're thinking right, doesn't it feel great? Yeah. See, that's what God is leading us to. He's bringing us to that place. But we have to see that it ends or begins in the house of the Lord. Because he told us to be planted in his house. Amen? This is where he has us to flourish. Amen? Praise the Lord. The 23rd Psalm is talking about the same thing. He's talking about leading us to that place where we flourish, which is his house. His idea, in the end, they end the 23rd Psalm with, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I understand that that's referring to a heavenly house, but we understand also that God said, make the temple according to the plan that I've given you. Amen? We're still making the temple according to the plan. Now, the temple, of course, we understand is our bodies and stuff like that. But he also said, do not forsake assembling together. Amen? He said to be planted in the house of the Lord. See, we have to connect the dots here. We have to understand that there is an importance. He's bringing us to a place of utmost importance. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. God wants us full. He wants us restored. He wants us planted. And he wants us producing fruit. This is our God. Amen? I said, this is our God. Praise the Lord. The question is, do we believe it? Amen. No matter where we go, if we're following the Lord, if we're following the direction, we're going to be in a place that there's always provision. It doesn't always look comfortable. You know, I love this. I was talking to my pastor this week, and he made a statement that I just thought was profound, and it was. He said, you know, if we only did what was comfortable, we would have never had the New Testament. All the people in the New Testament, they were led, and then some. I mean, most of them paid for it with their lives. Yeah. Amen. And I'm not saying. I mean, if God calls us to pay for it with our lives, we'll know that. You know, I would say we would know that ahead of time. We're not all called to pay for it with our lives, but we have to understand that sometimes we're going to be led into places that aren't comfortable. That's okay. Sometimes coming to church ain't comfortable. I'll tell you what. I was a person that didn't like people. I didn't like being around people. Sometimes I still don't. But see, when you come to the house of the Lord, that's where people are. But see, we need that. We need that coming together because of what it produces in us. Amen. I didn't go here, but you know, when we talk about taking communion, I'm sure you've all read those scriptures. I think they're in 1 Corinthians. And, you know, it talks about, discerning the Lord's body or not discerning the Lord's body. And it talks about how many sleep what that means is die because they didn't discern the Lord's body. That's exactly what it's talking about. It's talking about Christians who didn't discern the importance of the Lord's body. See, that's what communion is all about. Communion, I mean, we talk about if we come together and we talk and we're having fellowship, we're in communion. Yeah. Amen? That's what the whole concept of communion was about. Another thing that I talked about with my pastor this week that I thought was really interesting was talking about how God brings us together. And we're all different parts. Some of us are, maybe you got something I want. Maybe I got something you want. You know, we're all in that place. You know what I mean? Maybe there's one Christian over here who has a lot of money, but they have no peace. But there's a Christian over here that has lots of peace. Maybe they have a great marriage, but they don't have any money. You know, God brings us together so we can put all these things that we're missing so we can work together and become the body. Jesus called us the body. Hallelujah. He himself called us a body. What good is a body if the hand is laying over there? If I was up here and I just whacked off my hand and threw it out the window, it ain't going to do us any good, is it? Wouldn't be doing me any good either. If I whacked off my feet and threw it out there, or one of my feet and threw it out there and threw another one over there and maybe took a... But see, that's what the body looks like, the body of Christ looks like today. Is it God? It says the Bible says that he puts the joints together as he pleases. Yeah. Amen. And people are trying to tear that all apart. You know what I mean? Oh, we see that again, and we see that a lot in this town. And I'll just be bold enough to say it. But God doesn't cause church splits. Church splits are not of the Lord. We were not a church split. We were a church plant. There's a difference. Somebody actually, one pastor actually once said to me, not in this town, another town, but he said to me, he says, that's all a church plant is a church split. I said, no, that's not true. A church plant is not a church split. A church plant is to go grow there and become what it's supposed to be. Amen. But what a lot of people are saying, well, I don't like what so-and-so is doing, so I'm going to go start my own thing. And I'm going to take half the people and go over there. Well, God never called us to do that. That is not of the Lord. You'll never see that in Scripture. In fact, you'll see that kind of stuff rebuked. Actually, you'll see it in the Old Testament that they were judged accordingly. I mean, judged. When I say judged, I don't mean like they stood before a judge and said, you're bad. I'm saying that they were judged. Some of them, the earth swallowed up. Yeah, the earth opened up, they fell in and died. That's it. What would happen if that was the way it was today? But see, Christians just think, they say, well, we can just do it the way we want. It's not about the way you want it. Church is not about what you want. Church is about what you need. Church is about what I need. Amen? Say it again. Church isn't about what you want. It's about what you need. You need the house of the Lord. See, the house of the Lord can go on with you and back to the body. If you're a hand, I can have my hand removed and still live, can't I? The body is still going to flourish. But what happens to the hand when it's removed? It rots. It decays. It doesn't produce anything. It's not good for anything. And there's a certain point where it's not even restorable, right? The same thing with a digit. Maybe your finger. Maybe your... It doesn't matter what you are. See, when we're disconnected from the body, we're disconnected from the love or the blood flow, the life flow of God. We cannot get... God wants us to be planted. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, when we were raised up in the Jamestown Church, the Family Church Jamestown, my pastor, Pastor Tim, still my pastor. I still call him my pastor. I still sit under him. I still listen to his messages. Praise the Lord. I still allow him to speak into my life because he's my pastor. You know what I mean? When he sent us out to start another church, it wasn't a non-joyous occasion. We celebrated. It was a wonderful thing. It was what he had for us. Praise God. Because God was doing something in us. We didn't take half the people from that church and start another church. We went to another town, started a church, and we started filling up that church. So much so that the Lord started saying, well, listen, you got to go on and start one down in Corey. Amen? We aren't here to cause church splits. We're here to teach the word to those who want to hear the word. Amen? Not everybody who's going to come in here is going to like what we preach. Praise the Lord. Some people will listen. Some people won't. My wife's going to be preaching a message here not too awful long. We got to come together on the date. But it's going to be about women ministers and how that's scriptural. Praise the Lord. Oh, we're excited about it. We're going to do a special service, amen, and we're going to, you know, run an advertisement and all that stuff. We're going to make it a big to-do, amen. But we're going to see in Scripture how it is. And she said, you know, she said, should you preach this, maybe, because, you know, we were talking about that. And she's like, should you preach it because, you know, because people might not receive it, because it might seem self-serving to her or something along that nature, right? We were talking, it would sound biased if a woman preacher is preaching about how women can be preachers. And I said, no, it doesn't matter, because those who will receive, and those who won't anyways. And those who won't, see ya. Yeah. Hallelujah. We love you, but praise the Lord for you. We welcome you back. But if you're not going to receive from God, well, there's the door, there's the road. Find someplace else to go, I guess. I don't know. We can't please everybody. We're not trying to. We're trying to preach the word. Yeah. Amen? Because it's a word that changes lives. It's a word that helps. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't know how you got me on all that, but we're moving right along. Amen. Praise the Lord. Where were we? We read the 23rd Psalm. We got all the way through there. So we're going to go flip over to Ephesians chapter 4. And now we're going to see a connection here with your pastor. Amen. See, oh, Pastor Jeff, you're a pastor, so you're just preaching about pastors and churches because you want a bigger church. Well, I do want a bigger church. I ain't gonna lie. I want a huge church. I want a bunch of huge churches. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want what God wants. God wants churches full. We didn't put 78 seats in here because we wanted three of them filled. Amen. We put 78 seats in here to fill them, and then we plan on building a bigger building to put the rest of them in. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You just came in on the first part of it, the first round. Well, you'll be blessed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. What did I say? Go to Ephesians 4. We're going to start in verse 7. Well, look at this. I love this. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Oh, I love this. To each one of us, grace was given. Grace is God's ability. That's really what it is. Grace is God's ability in us. It's that we couldn't, but God, grace comes in and does what we couldn't do. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. So we see this, that each one of us. Now, we got to keep this in context. It's important to keep it in context. So what do I mean by that? The other scriptures around it are going to tell us about this grace and about this ability and what Christ gave us. Amen? Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts to men. Now, see, a lot of people run with the scripture and they say, hey, he gave gifts to men. That means he gave you this gift and he gave me this gift and he gave them. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's going to tell us what the gifts are here in a minute. Amen. And the next two verses, and sometimes this is where people get confused, because the next two verses go on to explain what it meant by him ascending. And so we're going to look at that briefly, but we're not going to preach about it tonight. Now, this he ascended, what does it mean that he also first descended into lower parts of the earth? Yes, Christ went to hell. Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's what the Bible tells us. Yeah. Verse 10, he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Okay? Praise God. Now, verse 11 picks up where verse 8 left off. Remember, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Verses 9 and 10 explain what it meant about the ascension, all that stuff. Praise the Lord. Now we're back to explaining what the gifts to men were. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. That's what the gifts of men are. The gifts that he gave to men were the what we call the fivefold ministry office. Now, you are most familiar, probably, with the gift of the pastor. It is a gift. I am not saying I'm God's gift to all you, but I am. Do you know what I'm saying? No, I don't mean that in a wrong way. I'm not trying to say I'm like, oh, I'm God's guest. I'm the next great. No, I'm not saying that at all. God placed me here, and if he placed you here, then he connected us together. So therefore, I was the gift that God gave you. Aren't you glad? Everybody say amen. Praise the Lord. But see, the thing is, God has placed things in my life for you. Amen. He's placed you in the local church to be part of the body, but he's placed me in the local church to help you grow. And we're going to see that. Why were the gifts given? We'll look at verse 12. Praise God. Keep going on. Verse 12. For the equipping of the saints. Praise the Lord. Do you know who the saints are? Yeah, amen. They're not those people that you have a little statue of. You have a little bobblehead saint you stick on your dashboard or something like that. It's not a saint that you pray to. You're the saints. Amen. For the equipping of the saints. What do we need to be equipped for? For the work of the ministry. Praise God. The pastor isn't the only one in ministry. Amen. For the edifying of the body of Christ. The edifying of the body of Christ. See, God gave us these ministry offices, and the pastor's included in that. We're not preaching about all those because tonight we're talking about just the local church. Where do you find the pastor? In the local church. Amen. The pastor is the one gift that is given to us. We understand this. There's many other scriptures that talk about the gift of the pastor, what it's for, or the office of the pastor, if you'd rather call it that because you don't like calling me a gift. Whatever you want to do, praise the Lord. It doesn't matter. It won't hurt my feelings. But see, God he explains what that is for. The pastor is the one, because pastor is also the word shepherd, like we've seen in the 23rd Psalm. What does the shepherd do? Well, the under-shepherds, which I am, I'm an under-shepherd under Jesus, but I am supposed to do the work that Jesus does. He talks to me, and then I talk to you. Praise the Lord. What does a shepherd do? You remember the 23rd Psalm. He leads us into green pastures. How do we do that? With the word. He leads us beside still waters. What are still waters? Well, you know, we drive in here, and we saw lots of waters that weren't very still. Things were turbulent, and things were getting underwater and all that stuff. But see, the pastor, shepherd, takes the sheep and brings them to still waters, a place where it's calm, a place where it's safe. We produce a safe place. Why? Because for the edifying of the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. God wants us to be edifying the body of Christ. He wants us, the body, edification is basically, edifying means to build up. Amen. It's kind of like the building up of the making it strong, making it good, making it whole. Praise the Lord. See, because you remember where Jesus said, I can't remember the exact scripture now, but Jesus said he looked on the people he was sorrowful because they were like, he had compassion on the people because they were like sheep they were scattered and faint, like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd are scattered and faint. Listen, I know I'm a pastor, and so this could seem self-serving, but I also have a pastor, praise the Lord, that I'm connected to. He keeps me from being scattered and faint. Do you know what's interesting I found about my pastor? There'll be times I'll be going through something, and just getting around him, that anointing that's on his life to be my pastor will break stuff off of me. I'll be going through something, and I'll just get around. He won't even minister to me, but I'll just be around him, and all of a sudden, boom. I'm free from that thing that's been dogging me. See, that's what the local church does, is you come to that place where last week we ministered to one of our dear sisters here, praise the Lord. Why do I bring that up? To bring attention to myself? No, because the direction of God was to do that. And if she hadn't come, she wouldn't have received what the Lord had. And there's an anointing on my life to provide that, amen? Because that's what God has us to do, hallelujah. You see how it works? And so if we're tumbling around, if we're flip-flopping, if we're here or there, who's your pastor? Yeah. Praise the Lord. You know, Jesus said that my sheep know my voice. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. They know, there's so many examples of this in the Bible. Of course, we couldn't do it all in one night. But I wanted to give you a taste. I wanted to put you in a place of understanding what God was doing. We still got some more scripture to read here. Verse 13 says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is what the ministry gifts do for us. Praise God. My wife was talking about Reverend Randall Greer, who is here with us, going to be with us next week in Mayville. He operates in the office of a prophet. He is not in the church every single week, but he is there Praise the Lord. He's there when he's called upon or when he's needed. Amen. The Lord leads, or we bring him in, or whatever. But see, the awesome thing is you don't even understand how much the things that he prophesied have been connected to this work. Specifically, this work, this building came the knowledge of, part of the knowledge of it came through the things that he ministered to me in services, and he didn't even know about it. He didn't even know we were working on another work. Praise God. This is how good God is. Oh, I just love it. I just love it. There's some churches, there's some religions, some denominations that say there's no office of the prophet anymore. Show me that scripturally.
Yeah.
Show me where that's passed away. Right. The same ones will say there's no apostles anymore. Show me that in scripture. Because here he says he's given us the ministry offices until we all come into the fullness of the knowledge.
Right.
Well, we're not there yet. Right. You at the fullness of knowledge yet? Uh-huh. Praise the Lord. If you are, come up here and lay hands at me because I need help. Amen. I ain't got the fullness of knowledge yet. Glory to God. See, there's some people that say, well, tongues, all that, the tongues business, that passed away. Oh, yeah, show me in scripture where that passed away. Show me. No, I can show you lots of scripture. They'll say just the opposite. But there's people that, because you know why? They don't, that makes them uncomfortable. We start talking about this stuff. Laying on of hands. Well, I don't know about this. Jesus said, actually, we're told in Hebrews 6, we have a series out there about it. If you don't have it, grab it, take a copy. But about the Christianity 101. Hebrews 6, 1 and 2 tells us what the basic principles of Christianity are. And some of them are laying on of hands. Some of them are the baptisms, more than one, meaning more than one, plural, baptisms. There's more than one, praise the Lord. What was some of the other ones? Living right, stuff like that. I ain't going to get preach that message, but you understand. Praise God. There are things that some people just won't look at anymore because they just think, you know, they think it's passed away, but the Bible doesn't say that. Well, praise God. And we could go on and on about that, but I'm not going to. That we should no longer be children. This is why we have the ministry offices. Look at this. This is so important. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro. Stability. God has given us the ministry office. He's given us a church for stability. We need stability. Why? Because without stability, we're tossed to and fro. You know those people that just have church at home? Have you ever known someone like that? Praise the Lord. I was one of them, so I can speak about it. Yeah, just have church at home. You just watch this minister, that minister, whatever you like. Get on YouTube and just watch what you want to watch. What are those people? Those are the people that are they're up and down, left and right. They're the Christians that are, they're flip-flop Christians. You know what I mean? I knew, actually, one of the guys that helped me early on was a flip-flop Christian. I learned real quickly that I couldn't listen to him anymore. Because this guy was like, oh, I don't go to church because there's no good churches around here. Well, that's a bunch of garbage. Because there was good churches around. And even still, if you God still called you to be somewhere, even if there's no good churches around, God still called you to get planted somewhere, find out God's purpose, and then pray for it. Amen? Or pray for the word. You know, people don't do that. They just I just will stop. Then they become stale. They become flip-floppy, and they don't know, carried to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You know, there's winds of doctrine. There's doctrines that come through the body of Christ that keep rearing their ugly heads that aren't true. There's right now, one of the big ones is extreme grace. Oh, we live in grace. My wife wrote a fantastic faith fix this week. You got to read it. Fantastic. Talking about this kind of stuff, but like, you know, about people that just think that you can become a Christian and then live any way you want. People go to hell like that.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, it's the truth. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. You know, I said it here, but she quoted it there, the freedom in Christ, not free for all in Christ.
Yeah.
That's important to understand. But see, that's a wind of doctrine that people just, you know, they just say, well, I can just do whatever I want. No, the Bible never tells you that becoming a Christian just enabled you to have every opinion and be able to do everything you want. See, that's where people, this is where people, we were talking about a Christian, praise the Lord, Christian brother. Praise God for him, does good things and stuff like that, but is always going to a different church because he goes to a church for a little while and then gets offended about something, gets mad because you know he wants it his way and it's not his way, and so he gets mad about it and goes to a different church. That's a flip-flop Christian. They will never flourish. Yeah, they will grow to a certain point, but they will never flourish in the Lord. Amen? I said they'll never flourish in the Lord. See, oh, I got to get going because I'm just eating up my time. Praise God. But you understand, this is exactly what God is talking about. We need to be planted. We need to have that feeding. We need a pastor. We need to be... Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've met many Christians down here, and I ain't judging them. I have compassion on them. Because I've seen so many that are scattered and faint. So many Christians that they're just not getting the word. You know, they have wishy-washy pastors. You know, there's churches here that I met a pastor. I ain't going to say who it is. Pastor here in town. But he won't. If you go to the church website, you will find nothing about the pastor on the website. Nothing about the pastor. You won't even know who the pastor is. You will have no idea. All they have on the church website is a committee to do this, the committee to do that. God never ran things by committee. If you look in the Word, He never ran things by committee. He always set somebody as a head, maybe a man, maybe a woman. Praise the Lord, He used both. Hallelujah. But He always set somebody as a head. He said, follow them. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. When do you stop following Paul? When he stopped following Christ. That's exactly what Paul said. He was an apostle. Amen. And it's the same principle that applies today. The same church that was created then is the same church we have now. How do we know? Because the Bible tells us so. If God gives us different direction, He will give us different direction. Mormons think they got different direction. Jehovah's Witnesses think they got different direction. I'm going to tell you, they didn't. They didn't. They heard a lie from devil. And they created a wind of doctrine. And now they preach that garbage, and it's not the truth. But some people get tricked into it because they're not grounded enough in the truth. Amen? See, this is the thing. God always had a plan and purpose for us. And so He always had a way that things worked from the beginning to the end. And now some Christians think that we just make up our own way. You never see in Scripture God tell people, just make up your own way and go by that. Never. And for some reason, one of the winds of doctrine today is just, you just do what makes you feel good. You just do what you want. Oh, you worship the way you want. The Bible tells us how to worship. You don't worship the way that you want to worship. The Bible says nothing about worshiping. Oh, praise God. I'm gonna make somebody mad here. Here we go. Can I go there? Hallelujah. Can I step on over into the scary realm? Praise the Lord. Bible says nothing about worshiping God with flags. Nothing. We are not shown anywhere in Scripture where you have choreographed dance teams. Nowhere. You don't have we see in Scripture where Christians or where people dance, but it was inspired by the Holy Spirit and it was just off the cuff. It certainly wasn't, you know, some pretty girls up in the front with leotards on dancing around so everybody can watch how they're worshiping the Lord. That is not the intent of God. See, the Bible tells us. You wish you had your camera going then, don't you? Yeah, praise the Lord. That'd be real great for Facebook Live. Look at what my pastor did. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He just did what kind of dance you call it? The wiggle dance. Hallelujah. My pastor wiggle dances in front of him. But you understand what I'm saying? Listen, I'm not trying to just pounce on everything and just. But see, there's order in the church. There's things we understand. God has direction for us. You know, people, you know. Oh, glory to God. We had people coming on wanting to blow shofars and stuff. You know what a shofar is? It's a horn. I was talking to my pastor about this. It's so funny because this is how foolish Christians can get. See, this is the thing. The only reason they blew shofars is because they didn't have regular horns. Yeah. The same, but they never did it as a worshipful thing. It was a sound to war. Yeah. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us how to get the Spirit to come upon us, and the New Testament doesn't tell us to blow shofars to do it. Now, maybe you're a shofar blower, and if you are, you blow your shofar at home. Praise the Lord. You have fun doing it. I'm not trying to. Don't get mad at me. Praise the Lord. We just don't blow them here. Yeah. Amen? Don't be bringing your shofar here. We'll show you your shofar out the door. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. My pastor, I love this. You know, he had stories over the years. He had some. I'm just kind of going now. Praise God. I'm just going where we're going. But my pastor one day, he said he had this woman coming to church, and she was in this like long flowy gown, you know. And she just come in, and she's like, "I'm here to dance before the Lord." And he said, "No, you're not. Not here, you're not. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord." We've had people come in that are prophets, and they say, "I'm here to prophesy." No, you're not. Not here, you're not. Because you're not recognized here. See, the people we have here are safe. When we have put somebody in the pulpit, there's somebody who's proven. Yeah. I'm not just saying that somebody, you know, God shows us that. You know, when I didn't just come out of nowhere and become a pastor. Say, I'm going to make myself a pastor. Here we go. I'm going to be a pastor of the church. And we're going to start one in Corey. You know, whether you like it or not, that's not what we did. You know, there is a proving process. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's how we know we're safe. Did I get to the end? But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Yeah. Yeah. You're a joint, I'm a joint, we all supply something. Right. If you're not there, you're not supplying. If you're not connected, you're not supplying. Right. Praise the Lord. You say, how do I get connected? Well, you just start coming and get connected. First, you just say, you know, this is, if you decide that this is your church, maybe you haven't decided that yet. You need to get before the Lord and decide whether or not this is your church. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you something. If you had a strong leading to be here, probably your church. Yeah. Hallelujah. So you just stay connected. You grow. And you watch and see what happens. Amen. Yeah. You got a supply for us. We got a supply for you. Yeah. Praise the Lord. According to the effective working by which every part does its share. I got that underlined in my Bible. Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Anything that is alive, anything that is healthy will grow. Hallelujah. Really quickly, we're going to go there. I know I'm pressing it, but I'm going to press it tonight. Praise God. Because I just really, Psalm 1:1, if you can't find it, it's at the beginning of Psalms. Thanks for getting that. Hallelujah. Psalm 1:1. Praise the Lord. Psalm 1:1. It's all the way at the beginning of the Psalm. So you just find where we've been flip-flop and you go to the beginning of the flip. That's the flip. That's the F. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Praise the Lord. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree moved from here and there, everywhere, going wherever he wishes, being planted. Oh, it doesn't say that, does it? Hallelujah. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. Doesn't that sound a lot like the other psalm that we read? Yeah. Praise God. Psalm 92, right? Doesn't that sound an awful lot like that? Yeah. You'll be still bearing fruit. Praise the Lord. And whatever he does or she does shall prosper. Whatever they do. Why? Because you're getting fed. You're nourishing. Praise the Lord. So anything you do is going to be nourished. It's going to have direction. It's going to have the life of God in it. Hallelujah. Don't you want the life of God flowing in you? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The ungodly are not so. Look at what the ungodly are like. So I'm going to tell you something. You know, the Bible talks a lot about wicked and evil and stuff like that. Do you know sometimes a Christian can be wicked? A Christian can be evil. A Christian can be ungodly. Why? Because if they're a Christian, if they've received Jesus but they're not living right, they're ungodly. That's all there is to it. Well, how do you get a Christian that's ungodly to be godly? Start living right. You start to, like if you've done it all wrong all your life, praise the Lord for you. I still love you. Just start doing it right. Set it free. Set yourself free. Don't get bound up. Oh, I've been always doing it wrong, and now you're calling me out. No, I'm not calling you out. I'm just saying. I'm just preaching. Praise the Lord. I'm Fox News tonight. Yeah, I report, you decide. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's what we're doing here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And if you don't like Fox News, and don't blame me for that, nobody else had a saying like that I could use. So, praise God. The ungodly are not so. What are the ungodly like? Let's see what the Bible says. They're like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. What is a chaff? The chaff is shaken off. When they're shaking the wheat or whatever it is, and they're shaking off the chaff, all the leaves and the stuff that you don't want, and it's blown away. It just... See, the godly are planted in the house of the Lord. Isn't that what it said there? They're planted, praise the Lord. They flourish in his courts, but the chaff, the ungodly are like the chaff. They're just blown here and there. Amen? Amen? That's the truth. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Shall perish. It doesn't say the way of the ungodly who aren't Christians. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is the truth. Brothers and sisters, it's time that we understand that God has a purpose in this. We don't, this, you know, I say this all the time. It's not Burger King. It's not let's have it our way. I don't have it my way. I follow the Lord. I seek his direction. I don't start a church or I don't have an event just because I want to. Some people say to us, they say, why don't we do this? I say, because I haven't been directed to do that. Other churches, why won't you partner with us to do this? Because I haven't been directed to. Maybe you're directed, fine, do that. I don't care. I don't care if all of you want to march in the parade together. Praise the Lord for it. That's great. I'm not directed to march in the parade with you, so I'm not going to do it. Why? Because there's no fruit in things we're not directed to do. I want fruit. I am not. Listen, life is too short. There's too much to do. Praise the Lord. To start doing stuff that's unfruitful. I'm not going to go around doing things that are unfruitful. I only want to do what things that produce fruit for the kingdom of heaven. Praise the Lord. That's all I want to do. Am I bad for that? Am I a wrong guy? Do I hate you because I want to do things the way God wants me to do them? Well, certainly hope not. I would never say to a brother and sister in Christ, well, you got to do things my way. No, I would never say that. You do things the way the Lord led you. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But don't come to me and say, the Lord led me to do this, and it's not in Scripture and it's or against Scripture. Yeah. Well, I had a guy tell me, oh, the Lord led me to just to not go to church and to just seek Him on my own. Well, that's funny because the Bible tells us completely the opposite, and yet the Lord's leading you against His own word, and He said His word does not change. He said His word does not lie. He said He hastens to perform His word. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And now you're saying that what God told you is opposite His word? Man, something's wrong with that. See, this is where people get goofy quick. Because people want to believe what they want to believe and not with the word of God. We are going to close with Proverbs 1:7. Praise the Lord. We made it all the way through. Thanks for coming with me. Praise the Lord. And now we got the Proverbs 1:7 to help us finish it. Amen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Praise the Lord. The fear of the Lord. The word fear is not being afraid of God. It is a reverential fear. It is like you want to please God. It's a reverential thing to do what God has said to do. We need to take heed, and we need to fear not doing what God wants us to do. Amen. That's the truth. But what does it say here? But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise it. The only wisdom and instruction we have is the Word of God. And if we despise what God has given us, we become a fool. And you know what the Bible says? Fools return to their own vomit. It says fools return to wallowing in mire. Fools return to the previous life that they lived, and there's no blessing in it. But we're not going to be fools. This church is going to be a church of people who seek after God and follow God with all their hearts. I believe it. I believe in every one of you. I look at you, and I love you. I know that God's got a great plan for you. I don't care. We got little ones here. We got older ones here. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah for all of you. We love you, and we know that God is doing great things, and there's bigger things coming. But it all comes when we come together and we say, you know what? We're going to be believing. This has been on my heart. I've got to share this with you real quick, but this has been my heart for both Mayville and Corey. But we are the ones who build this church. We are the ones who decide. You know what? We reach people. I know some of you are here because somebody else sitting here invited you, and praise the Lord for it. But we need to be that. We need to take opportunity where we're reaching other people. Where we're saying, listen, we want to be. We want to edify itself so ourselves so we can grow into the things that God has us to grow into. Amen. So we can do the things that God has called us to do. God's called a mighty work here. Amen. And this is only started. Praise the Lord. We're on at the ground floor. Praise the Lord. But we're going to the top floor. We're moving on up to the east side. Praise the Lord. To a deluxe apartment in the sky. Ha ha. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.